Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Welcome back to Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom Allen, just a minute, on the board. S&P Futures up 18. Dow Futures up 166. This is on top of a huge up day yesterday. NASDAQ Futures up 51. As we're, even now the story this morning is that China is likely to wait out the trade war as it bets on its own economy. The Chinese and the Trump people got enough, surely got enough mileage out of the, tweets yesterday and, stuff out of China about how, you know, we're going to start talking again and all kinds of stuff, so maybe we are. We'll see, although it's just, how many times I can fall for that same one. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Let me see, how many times can you fall for the same, actually, it should be none.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the, you know, where are we today in the pissing contest?
They had a,
The idea that we keep reacting to this is what's really strange. At some point, you know, don't you think markets would just start saying, never mind?
Well, I mean, it's a big difference in people's value going forward. But I think some of the other guests and I have been, not that you haven't, but I'm not so sure, Kevin, that at some point you don't do enough damage to both economies that even if you do something, it's going to take a while to come back. It's still probably better than that, but I mean, you could conceivably. I just have interesting views of what of this administration and where they're going and a lot of things they're doing. And they had a lady on CNBC yesterday, and she was making the point. As a matter of fact, she sounded almost like something you would say. Is that
poor woman?
Yeah, no kidding. She was talking about the. The situation between Korea and Japan, and the idea that they're two countries that obviously, given the history, the Japanese occupied the peninsula and raped the hell out of half the women, and you know they were God knows what they did to the guys. I mean, it was not a decent history, right? This was before World War II, correct?
And sure. Honestly, yeah, they. Yeah. There's a long-standing hatred there.
Yeah, and if they
because and really it's you know from the Korean point of view, what they're saying is well you know they've been intermittently overrun by China and then by Japan and you know it was like they each taking their turns.
Well, yeah, and I mean that's essentially this lady's name is who wrote the article is a guy named. Houston Huang, but the lady who's in here, I'll dig her name out for a second since I'm going to quote her. Deborah Elms, she's executive director at the Asian Trade Center. And what she was saying, and this is my overriding concern other than the fact that he has an amazing personal, I have a personal dislike for the man because I know people that he's stiff paying him, Mr. Trump, but, Kevin, there are times when I think you look at something and you say that thing is a piece of crap, that agreement, that treaty, that agreement with your neighbor to not fight over the treaty that you can't figure out over which line. Even if you still don't like each other, the agreement itself says something, that you're going to somewhat be rational going forward, and even though you're never going to like each other, you can do things together and try not to fight each other. And once in a while, you're going to come along and say, you know, that agreement is crap, and blow it up, be it NAFTA, be whatever it is. There's a respect for the Trans-Pacific deal. You and I never read it. Listeners never read it. Most of the people who comment on TV never read it. I'm gonna bet you read more of it than any of the bozos on TV that commented on it. The fact is, on one hand,
I didn't, because nobody was allowed to read it. If you remember,
yeah. Well, it's. But I'm saying
it was locked up in a room, and Congress people could only go in and see it if they surrendered their cell phones. And
I thought they did that. I thought that was the new NAFTA agreement. Was the other one too?
It's become standard operating procedure. I know that the procedure existed pre-Obama, but it seemed to get used more in the Obama era.
Unbelievable.
I may be wrong about that, and it's just recency as far as memory that's telling me that. But when you don't want something to get out, they now have Congress has methodology for keeping things secret. Isn't that great? We should always have Congress keeping secrets from us.
Well, but sometimes...
Before they vote on anything.
Just like the SALT I agreement. I'm going to say that the SALT I agreement pretty much sucked for both sides. Didn't do anything worthwhile, really. But what it said was that two people that obviously are locked at each other's throats can at least come together and say, look, we're not going to fight about this piece or something. And I think it takes a guy who's almost Solomon-like, which we haven't had in a while, to know the difference. Now, this lady's point yesterday, without even... minute she started talking about this, I'm saying, oh, man, I wish Kevin was listening. But she says, I think the Japan-Korea incident is a symptom of what happens when a system starts to collapse, where all of a sudden you don't trust anybody. And my concern with our president and his style reminds me of the old poster at the one bar we used to go to in South Bend where I said, all I ask is the strength to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the things I can't, and something to patience to know the difference or something.
Well, it's the courage to change the things I can. I can't cite it exactly off the top of my head. It's the Serenity Prayer, but it's accept what I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And I get the feeling, it's absolute feeling, whether I'm Democrat, Republican, whatever I'm at, that this man does not know the difference, Kevin. He wants to blow stuff up, and some stuff you shouldn't blow up, because it was an amazing achievement to get as far as you got. And I don't think he knows the difference. And I don't know that I would know the difference, but I don't have that job. I mean, this lady's saying that it took forever for Japan and South Korea essentially to make it to this point where they traded, they talked to each other. And now to pull back from that and go back to the feelings of 35 years ago is not where you want to go. And yet, it's probably where you're going to land. When they scrap the military. And her opinion is this is happening all over the world right now. And I'm not so sure she's wrong. I hope she is.
Well, yeah, I think some of it is partly due to technology. It's partly due to some shifting political philosophies. I think there's a lot of reasons where the political balances and the way and we saw that with the European Union. It's changing a lot, and change. Well, there's a number of forces that go on with it, but one is, old traditions, old bureaucracies, and so on die very, very hard. they don't give up easily. Old feelings don't, and sometimes when people feel like the new way, whatever the new way is a cram down. There's going to be some pushback. There's going to be some pent-up feelings about it. And I think, we saw that in the United States. We've seen that elsewhere. One of the things I've said before is, you have a lot of Trump supporters who don't necessarily like the man, but they like that he hits back. And because there's a lot of people who have felt like they're representatives. They, there in this, I can speak for the conservative side of it, many of the conservative constituencies look at that and they say, you know, whether it's religious people who, you know, can be punching bags sometimes, or you know, whoever, less educated people, that they, you know, people look down their nose at less educated people, that when you hear that, you really, really want the people that you supported to stand up for you, and they don't. And so I think that was the, you know, that's one of the things that people like about Trump, for better or for worse, that he is, you know, he is going to stand up and throw a punch, a counter punch. And, you know, a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of people think he's crass, but at least they're saying, you know, there's a whole group of people saying it's about time.
Well, you also have a time where you have an awful lot of people. Matter of fact, I was having cocktails with a couple the other night that are wannabe one percenters. And the comment actually was made that I said, you know what, I'm getting the maitre d' and we're putting a sign up on this table, one percenters only. One of my buddies in the Fed agreed with immediately by somebody who isn't even doing that hot economically. I have no sympathy for people with credit card debt, and I have no sympathy for people who got in trouble on their mortgages. Let me get this straight. Credit card debt's 25%. Even the friggin' mafia didn't do that, for God's sake. And what are the late fees? And these people are in trouble on their credit cards, because most of them, because they got in trouble some other place. I mean, what is the matter with you two people? And there are people who bought a house at 250 that 6 months later was 160, had nothing to do with them. They should have known. And if they didn't, they should just take the hit. Everybody has a bad trade once in a while. Okay. Anyway, before I leave this lady, this is off the top of her head here. I think this Japan-Korea incident is a symptom of what happens when a system starts to collapse. This is the interesting part, Kevin. You have trade disputes that escalate, and there's no handbrake anymore. So they roll over into security disputes, and then again, there's no handbrake. So they can continue to percolate when there's no obvious way to end them. We're in a situation that, to be honest, really could have been reined in at any point. Should have been reined in at some point, and yet it doesn't seem to be stopping. It's going on. I mean, I don't know how you'd dispute that. I mean, she's like, this, it should never got here. I mean, where's the adult in the room? And we're not talking about us.
It's like Don Corleone when they finally gathered all the heads of the families, and he said, how did it ever come to this?
Yeah.
And the answer is it gets there step by step. It gets there slowly.
Well, I mean, I think that you, but I think what's happening with the Trump phenomenon is a particular time, Kevin, is that an awful lot of people who should know better that are on, that you watch on TV or listen to on radio all day long, they keep telling people that aren't doing so well how well they're doing. And an entire generation, a lot of people in it have been harmed economically. And Trump has taken the I won't say the German people were the first one to do it, but he's taken the terrific dictatorial approach that you blame that on other people in the society. You blame it on the trade agreement. You blame it on the president. You would be rich today if it wasn't for NAFTA. That's not true. You'd be rich today if it wasn't for this. God help you if you sign this. I mean, it goes to the base. Instead of finding the real problems, it's real easy to do that, Kevin. I could never do it. You could never do it. But some people are good at it, and he is. I mean, and I think a lot of people feel that they didn't get very far in this world because of other people. And I, for one, will say that right now it's hurting an awful lot of people because the people, I'm going to say, don't take this literally, although you're supposed to take things literally, the problem with higher education is the amount of people who have their finger in the pie, that it's three times as expensive as it ought to be. That's the problem. It's not student loans. It's not anything else. I mean, you're the one who's been the most articulate of anybody. The problem with healthcare is not Obamacare. It's not the insurance. Well, it is the insurance companies they've been allowed to combine. It's the fact that your MRI is $6,000 instead of $600. And no matter how you flip the shells around, like on the sidewalk, the kids flinging the hat around with the shell underneath it, no matter how you spin it around, as long as it's $56,000, it's a problem. Right? I mean,
and you know what? Just to quibble a little bit, it's just one of my pet peeves. You know, we always talk about, well, people losing their health care and people having health care and all. it's actually how we pay for health care. Health care in America is great. You know, the quality of the care is great. It's just that the way we pay for it is so bleeped up, and then on top of that, it's designed in a way so that it can be overly expensive. And otherwise, yes, you are absolutely right. Your summary is absolutely right.
Well, the overhead's huge. I go to my guy, and once a year, thank God. I'm going to say 50 years ago when I went to the doctor, there was the doctor. He might have a nurse. That'll be $25, and you give the guy $25. And the overhead was like zero. Well, now I'm going to say every doctor's office, for every three doctors, there's probably 4 to 5 people that send pieces of paper back and forth to everybody. It's too high, Kevin. It's too high. Not to mention the people on the other end of the pieces of paper. There's how many people there? You don't have to send 8 pieces of paper back and forth when you should just give the guy $25 or $100 and be done with it. It never will work at that level. I mean, I'll tell you, from my cost accounting background, it'll never work at that level, and it's not.
Yep. So anyway, let's go back to the rhetoric, though, yeah. Because you're right. It works, and part of the reason it works is because you get statements like, you know, Hillary Clinton, who just said, you can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables, and gets laughter and applause from the crowd. They're racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that, and he's lifted them up, etc. But then the next day, she says she regretted saying half. You know, that was her regret. Oh, I overstated it. It's President Obama when he said you go to these small towns in Pennsylvania and a lot of small towns in the Midwest, and the jobs are gone now and for 25 years and nothing's replaced them, which is your point. And then they fell through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, each successive interest, and somehow these have to regenerate themselves. And he says it's not surprising that they get bitter. They cling to their guns and religions or antipathy toward people who aren't like them. I mean, that's just insulting right on to, John Kerry saying, education, if you make the most of it, if you study hard and you do your homework and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq. These kinds of condescending remarks, and I have a whole collection of them, as you can tell, these are the things that make Trump's rhetoric resonate with people.
Sure.
And that's what I mean by, he hits back, because people don't, they don't like being generalized like that. There's so many of them. It just becomes a culture battle as much as a political battle. And it doesn't need to be, I think there's way more common ground, certainly about goals that people have for their lives and their families' lives, and common ground on some of the big political issues. I think there's way more than we would believe there is by watching media, and yet we don't tap into that because we're so busy making the other side the bad guy.
Well, there's no doubt, but I do have, as you know me forever, nobody talks to everybody of all walk of life, I think, more than I do. I mean, there probably are people, but nobody that I know.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about that, too, in a minute. Go ahead.
But, I mean, it does bother the hell out of me, Kevin, when I come across a grown man or woman, and they actually believe, and they're from like North Dakota or someplace, that they're in danger of being raped by somebody coming across the Mexican border or something. I'm like, who are you listening to? What is the matter with you? Or every single Muslim in the world, they just hate. Every one of them is a cutthroat type of thing. I think they're, on one hand, I obviously to this day, I'm stunned and I can't believe that, Hitler got people to believe that they lost World War I because of the Jewish people. But I also think there's some culpability in the people who believed it. I mean, there's something that you can throw at people that you gotta, you got to say, wait a minute. I mean, I can't say anything to you that you don't, if you think for a second I'm wrong, don't research it and come right back at me. That's the way people are supposed to be. I mean, it's the idea that you just believe somebody that all of a sudden all your woes in your life are somebody else's fault. I mean, something's wrong with you too. I mean, I would never call somebody deplorable. I would say, I need to talk to that person and say, wait a minute, let's find a different route here.
And I would say that, I would say I'm just as offended and annoyed by all the statements that Kevin made, which are absolutely offensive when you talk about John Kerry's statement and Hillary's statement and Obama's statement. And then I'm just as I don't support them, just as I don't support Trump and his statements that are just drive me insane every single day. And how people can pick one or the other and be okay with it and then not okay with the other, I'll never understand.
It's just you know, who's on the receiving end of it, Matt? And if you're on the receiving end of it, you want your side to punch back.
Well, it's really,
I don't,
and I think that explains a whole lot of Trump support is that you know, the people that you wouldn't imagine are just glad that he punches back against what's aimed at them.
But and, Matty,
you know, for better or for worse, they just are.
Why do you think that anybody is not set up to believe if you're in a town they're going to close some part of this thing in Indiana, one of the steel companies. If you're in that town and you just lost that job and now you don't know how the hell you're going to pay for your house, and somebody comes in and you know what? First of all, it's not your fault. You know, you go to work every day and you do what you're supposed to do. But, I mean, there's no question it's not your fault. But somebody who's smart enough to say the reason why you lost this job is because this president before me signed this NAFTA agreement. And by the way, all the steel is being made in Mexico and it should be made here. He's the one that screwed up, not you. I mean, the reason why your house is being off the bankruptcy thing is because of the guy before me. And by the way, he was a Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter, whatever he was. And I'm going to do it better because I'm going to turn that around and I'm going to go screw those people. Well, it is a very, given where you are in life, it is a very powerful message.
Yep. And you know what tends to undo it, you know, more than anything else? You find this in the military, that no matter how people went into the military, if you serve for any period of time, you're serving with people, you know, of all races, as an example. And as you're side by side with people, they and your lives depend on each other, your attitudes get adjusted real, real quickly. I think you find, to a degree, you find the same thing if you can be in a work situation that is very gender mixed, racially mixed, or whatever, and all of a sudden your attitudes are going to change real quickly. It's just that we don't have enough of that, but I can tell you in the areas where we do, it tends to be you tend to find more cooperation amongst the groups that we typically think of as divided.
All right, Kevin, we got to head off the break. Recipe Futures up 17, Dow Futures up 151. But, Matty, to your point, how many people have seen the steel stocks get hammered after how Trump has been in office? They look like they're going out of business. Huh? It didn't help them at all, did it? But it got them elected. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. SP Futures up 16. We have the Nasdaq Futures up 43.75. We have the Dow up 143. The individual stocks moving this morning, pre-market. We have Boeing up $2. We got Apple up $1. Pretty much everything in the Dow is up, but not huge. Just pretty much across the board. I don't see any red spots in anything that's trading. The only thing I see trading negatively this morning is Marvell, which came out as earnings last night. It's only down $1, so I wouldn't exactly call that horrible. Eddie, why don't you try the weather sports while I get the rest of this back up here?
I can do that. 35 minutes past the hour.
Football back. Clemson good.
Yes, 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. The Sports Weather Traffic Update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And Stocks and Jocks listeners, if you haven't already, receive a free digital subscription by visiting luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. And we encourage everyone to do that if you haven't already. It's a fantastic publication that you get for free. No credit card necessary. Literally, you just sign up, put your email address in. They send you the subscription once a month every time it comes out. That's it. There's no spam. There's no junk. It's a pretty great deal. And Stocks and Jocks listeners get it for free. So do that if you haven't already. Off to a good start here on a Friday morning on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. The only issue being on the Kennedy. We had an earlier crash on the inbound side just before Central Avenue. That's causing some delays
As you're heading in on I-90, so keep that in mind. But no issues as you get further into downtown. Outbound side looks okay. Edens, Eisenhower, Stevenson, all quiet as they typically are on a Friday, but especially quiet on a Friday before a long holiday weekend. South side expressways are quiet as well. Off the expressways, we're looking pretty good. Nothing major to report as far as accidents or closures. So it looks like we're off to a pretty good start here. Weather today, it's going to be a beautiful day. Mild temperatures, we cool off compared to yesterday. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 74. Right now it's mostly clear and 65 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine, hot temperatures, a high of 110 today. Right now it's clear and 87. In sports, Cubs completed a three-game sweep in New York, beating the Mets 4-1 last night in what will be remembered as the Victor Caratini game. If the Cubs go on a run here and make a run in the playoffs, that people will look back on this game, I have a feeling. Two home runs off of Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom, a solo shot to tie the game early, and then a big three-run homer late in that one to put the Cubs up 4-1.
For not good. Cheapies either.
Both were bombs to right field, one in the upper deck. And the Cubs are now 1.5 games back of St. Louis, who was off last night. Cubs welcome in the Brewers this weekend for a big three-game set at Wrigley. 1:20 first pitch this afternoon. Jose Quintana on the bump. As the Cubs look to keep it going, they've now won three in a row. White Sox were swept at home by the Twins. They were doubled up last night 10-5. Diamondbacks are hanging on to their thin playoff hopes. They beat up on the Dodgers 11-5. And so looking at the wild card real quick for our Diamondbacks listeners, the D-backs are now 4.5 out behind the Cubs for that second wild card spot. But they also are behind the Brewers by a half a game and by the Phillies, two games behind the Phillies. So they'd have to jump over three teams to get that second spot. But the D-backs have won 4 in a row and 7 out of 10 and are playing good ball. So don't sleep on them just yet. Chief.
The news of the day, Hong Kong, all the protests got canceled, evidently, because they arrested the activist, the guy who's kind of, I don't know if he's running it, but Joshua Wong was arrested. That's a massive hurricane heading right for the middle of Florida. I wonder, as Maddie, you're what we have as a meteorologist, is this thing going to be one of those that goes across Florida and like reforms in the Gulf and then hits somewhere else?
They tend to do that, don't they?
If it's right in the middle and it's coming directly sideways, which is like this one is,
yeah.
I don't see why it wouldn't, but I sure hope it doesn't.
I hope not.
The reporting I saw said it's moving very slowly, and this could be similar to Houston in the regard that it just kind of sits there and dumps rain.
And that's not good either.
Yeah, 120 mile an hour.
No, and I have this vision of Fari on his yacht, up on the mast, Lieutenant Dan style.
Yeah. It's a long way. It's a long way from Fari. Fari's in the far. He's like in Naples. This is going to be north to Miami on the other side.
All right.
Some rain. Anyway, the DAX up 131, 1.1%. FTSE up 49.7.
Our buddy Carl's in northern Florida. I assume up near like Tallahassee or Jacksonville.
I think he's going to go right in the middle with those two guys.
Carl would never be in the mast, Lieutenant Dan.
No. Nikkei up 243.
He'd Shanghai be in the bomb down. Shelter underground.
It's interesting. Shanghai is actually down. But, all right, the one I give now that I never used to have to give, 10-year yield 1.52. The Bund minus 0.7. 10-year, the Japanese, 10-year minus 0.28. And we have gold is down 230, 1534. Silver up another 14 cents, though, 1847. Wow, the guys on TV that were saying buy silver were sure right. Anyway, that's the state of the world this morning. every one of these hurricanes now appears to be a bad one, doesn't it?
There aren't any good ones.
Well, the water temperature, if the thing gets out in the Gulf, I worry about more of it out there than the one that's going to hit Florida. I mean, we do have this, those that deny that there's, you can argue the effects, but you can't really deny the global warming piece. I mean, we've had what, four or five of our hottest 10 years on record in the last 10? I don't know. That's
they have this. I don't know if we've had four or five, but I'll take your word for it. I don't want to argue that.
Might
right
be three
now,
or four.
There's also this phenomenon called the. I think it's the multi-decadal oscillation, where just on a cycle anyway, the ocean and there's a Pacific one, there's an Atlantic one, and the ocean will warm and then it will cool, and then it will warm, and then it will cool, and this has been going on forever. And we are in a warming cycle now, and that has an effect on everything as well.
I don't disagree, but I think a lot of those studies, again, were... Where's Michelle Smith when we need her? a lot of those studies, Kevin, have to do with one hemisphere or one continent or something. But lately, when I say lately, the last 20-some years, we've had the ability, satellite and otherwise, to actually track what they consider to be the worldwide temperature. I mean, you're right. You're going to have a year where we're going to have the polar vortex. But guess what? Alaska is a little warmer. Right? I mean, it'll move around based on whether you've got, what is El Nino and what's the other one, all that stuff. But by and large, every time some place gets really warm or some other place, if you look at the world temperature, we shouldn't be getting warmer because the sun's actually cooling here. And we are. Which is, I mean, I don't know that, you know, that it could be 48 volcanoes we don't know about or something that are causing the damage or something. But the fact is, it is happening. And I, you know, whether we can stop it is another issue. You know, I don't know if we can or can't, but I think we could certainly make some strides to drop the carbon footprint in a common sense way, and other nations can do it as well, because it's cheaper, right, to burn less if you can do it right. I mean, it's not like it's a bad idea.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know what? I mean, again, when we talk about common ground, do we all want a cleaner planet?
Yeah, I mean...
You know, whatever else you want to argue about as the results, can we all salute a cleaner planet? Okay, let's do that then.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, but we're I don't know. I this article we're talking about, this lady this morning. I think she's right, Kevin. We're sort of coming unglued, and we're picking fights where we don't need to pick fights. There's always a spot where I think you need to pick a fight. I mean, worldwide, right? I mean, it's I mean, we had a little while where they used to call it the Pax Americana, essentially the 50s and 60s after the World War, where we pretty much took care of everybody, and there was no, except for us and the Russians pushing back and forth, there weren't a hell of a lot of other wars around. I'm sure there were a few that we didn't know about, but that seems to be over. And right now, people, like you're saying, accentuate the differences instead of accentuating the similarities. And we're just yep, in one of those personality periods. And I'm not positive. I mean, this is what screws me up the most, Kevin, is the more and more I read about it, and I blame the listeners, by the way, because, and my guys at the Fed, they keep sending me really good stuff about, you know, World War I, World War II, this economic crisis, this other. And I read them, Kevin, and I realize the history has been written. Like, you know, people get the right history that are the winners, right? People write history as if, you know, this victory was a fait accompli or something, or this outcome. And you go back and look at the details and you go, God, we got out of that one by the skin of our teeth. You know, right? I mean, and you look back at all these little pieces and all these economic wars or shooting wars where it kind of could have gone either way. And somehow or another, you know, we managed to get a break, or the what we consider to be the right side got a break. I mean, if Hitler didn't make a couple of big mistakes, or Japan wasn't foolish enough to the water treatment thing in Midway Island, where we knew that's where they were going. If they wouldn't have picked up on that, I mean, world history could have been a hell of a lot different on a couple little things. And, you know, it's not like we were the massive strength every place we were, and no matter what happened, God was on our side. I think he probably was, but, you know, but it seems to me that you can't just every, you know, what was the, Shakespeare did it, and was he the first one? What, you know, cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. I mean, you do that, you never exactly know what the dogs are going to do when they're out there. And the outcome is never, you know, you can't really count on it. And I don't know that we and these other nations, you know, what are Korea and Japan going to end up fighting now? I mean, I hope not.
No.
You know, but how do you know? Like the lady says, it should have been reined in by now, and it's not. I think our thing with China should have been reined in by now. And to me, it's getting worse. Even what they said yesterday, it's not getting worse. And the tariffs are going on this weekend, right?
Presumably, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Presumably, yes. So, you know, a couple of comments just from the prior segment is you mentioned the steel industry, and U.S. Steel is closing a lot of its operations. I think that's, you know, that's a function of really its own business model, and that it's kind of it's dealing with aging technology, and it can't adapt because the balance sheet won't support it. You know, they're built around blast furnaces, and the steel, the U.S. steel companies, the American steel companies that are doing well are the ones who've moved on to new technology that are using the, you know, they've gotten away from blast furnaces, and they're using the, I forget what it's called, the electronic
electronic
process
arc
for producing steel, and they can scale up and flex up, flex down with market demand. Better, and they may not be able to produce on the large scale that a blast furnace can, but they also don't get crushed when things slow down. These same companies are re-engineering their process so that the scrap byproducts of their production process go back into go back to start and get reused, so their materials costs are lower. So those kinds of things I think are really, really important. So when we talk about why, you know, yes, we can go pin U.S. steel closing on foreigners, but, you know, we can try and do that. But the reality is that it's just, you know, aging technology and the inability
for the new technology to adapt to it. The new technology you're talking about is able to deal with scrap metal, where the old one isn't. The old one is always making new steel.
Right.
And, but still, Kevin, we're talking about U.S. Steel X. For those that don't know the symbol, $25 in March, $11.24 today.
They're getting the tariffs have really hurt them badly because, you know, as was it David or was it Brendan? I don't remember who was talking. I think it was David earlier in the week, and you and I talked about the same thing about, you know, some of the agreements that people have to deal with the tariffs, and in many cases, you know, we're splitting things. Well, in an industry that can't afford higher material costs, or a company like U.S. Steel that can't afford higher material costs, they're kind of screwed even if they're splitting it because their margins aren't good enough anyway.
AKS, they're just
getting killed.
AKS, which is one of the more of a blend, which is more one of the newer steel companies, $3.20 in March, and now it's $2.19. That's a quick.
Yeah, what's Nucor and what's Steel Dynamics look like?
I think I got Nucor up here. What's Nucor? NUE?
Don't know the symbol.
I think it might be. I have to check. I got so many of them up here because of the option stuff in them that I can't really get the other ones up easy enough. It must be. 62 in March, and it is 49 now.
So the whole industry is taking a hit too.
Yeah, but some of them.
The thing is, Nucor is not closing.
No,
they're not closing plants. U.S. Steel is because U.S. Steel is not in a position to withstand this. They would have been teetering at some point anyway. This is just hastening the inevitable.
Cleveland Cliffs, which services some of the stuff, was $12 in March. Now it's $7.50. I mean, every one of the metallurgical coal companies, I think, is out of business.
Companies are getting hurt badly,
yeah,
by these tariffs. I mean, I think it's a fact.
I think it is too.
I mean, I don't think it's up for debate.
Some people have managed to wiggle their way around it. The big box stores, yet another victory for the big stores versus the little stores, right? I mean, the Walmart seems to be able to maneuver faster than IKEA. Of course, IKEA is privately held, I believe, so you don't really know, but. I mean, who are the big winners? Are Walmart and Target, and, you know, other people aren't. It just shifts things around like everything else. And Apple, evidently, if they can continue this Tim Cook, you know, Donald Trump bromance or whatever's going on there, where everybody gets terrorists, but he calls the president, he doesn't. I mean, I don't know how long that's going to last before they have a pissing match because Trump seems to not like everybody he likes for a while. So, I mean, what's going to happen with those guys? I mean, that's probably our single, one of the groups that I do business for, it's probably our single biggest people that clients have on their own is Apple stock. And I'm going to say my worst day is when somebody says, what do you think about Apple? And I go,
I know you love it. I know you've held it for a billion years. I honestly cannot put my arms around it. They're in the middle of this. They're like the church in the middle of where the guys are winging the artillery shells over the top of the church, and they're promising not to land one on them. I don't know that I believe them. I honestly have no idea what to tell anybody about Apple. Do you, Kevin?
No, other than Apple's success was always because it was an innovation company. Do you feel the same way about Apple right now?
No, and I'm going to say
it's a leading edge innovation company. I'm thinking for the last few years, I don't have that feeling. Maybe they'll roll out something that is insanely great as Steve Jobs would have defined it. But when's the last time that Apple did anything that was insanely great?
But they insanely business wise, what they've turned into, and although all my high tech people listening are going to say, she's really nuts. They've turned into the Gillette of the business. They're charging through the nose for the apps on the phones. And that's where they're making a lot of their money. And nobody thought that they would be able to turn those apps into... But people are so addicted to them that they're paying for them. The dollar a month, $2 a month, $2.50 a month, whatever those apps are. Every time they come out with earnings, that's a higher and higher percentage of their income is the steady stream for these apps. So it's almost like, you know, give away the razors, charge for the blades kind of thing. And that
may be incredibly profitable, but I always thought that the premium that people paid for Apple to invest in Apple was because of what the next innovation was going to be. They didn't know right. It, but whatever it was going to be big, and it was going to reshape the market. And I don't know if we're going to see that from Apple again.
I don't disagree, but it's not like... When their iPhone sales have dropped, which they have, it's not like the total revenue is going down the rat hole. They're making up for it with a lot of this other stuff. Now, whether they'll be able to do that for 5 years, I sincerely doubt. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, right now, it's giving them some time. Let's put it that way. It's at least giving them some time.
Yeah, and we'll see. Yeah. You know, again, the organization, a lot of the same people who did a lot of the innovating in the past are still with Apple, so we'll see what they do. But really, the heart and soul of it was Steve Jobs, and the longer he's been away from Apple now, the less influence his legacy has on the company today.
Well, but I mean, once you invent the telephone, what do you do for me lately? Well, I already invented it. What do you want me to do? I mean, Einstein, his theory of relativity was when he was 24 years old, right? I mean,
well, but they also invented the iPod, they invented the smartphone,
right.
They invented that. You know, it goes on and on with them. It was a series. The iPad was theirs. You know, the tablet. They didn't invent them all, but they kind of, you know. In some cases they made them better, in some cases they made them more mainstream. So I won't say that they invented the smartphone, but they invented the commercially successful smartphone.
Well, plus if you have one of those, I've never had one, I think your kids or whoever are going to want an Apple tablet.
And they were also smart enough to set up relationships that sold a lot of phones for them with the providers, and now more people are getting away from long-term contracts, and so they're not, and to do that you have to pay full price for the iPhone, and that full price is pretty high at all or completely high.
Well, you know, you can see why people. I mean, I have this, you know. My first smartphone, and it's not even all that smart. and I'm sure that's smart enough.
Smarter than you, though, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And, I mean, it's a lousy one. I mean, but I go and I say I should upgrade this thing. Because, you know, if I'm going to get one, I might as well get one with at least a screen big enough for me to read it. But I even go to I use Ting. They're one of those offshoot places where you just pay for what you use. And the nice thing about it is if you have two phones, it's only $6 more per month. So, anyway. It's not a shove for them, but if you go on there, even a you know 2-3 year old technology phone, a nice one is, you know, it's $400. I mean, I'll look at it and I'll go, yeah, I can do that next month. I mean, it's not like I absolutely need it today, you know. But so I mean, even the mid range ones, but the Apple is not the most expensive. That Samsung is what? $200 more?
The brand new Samsung S10?
Yeah, I think it's higher.
It might be higher. It's certainly comparable.
I mean, people are not used to paying, you know, $1,200 out of their pocket.
No, most people have gone away from the contracts, as Kevin said, but most people still aren't paying for it up front. They're leasing it.
All right, these guys, you can't lease it. You just got to actually buy it.
Yeah, so if you go to a Sprint store or a Verizon store or a T-Mobile or whatever, it's all leasing now.
Well, I mean, the thing
they're trying to redo the arrangement so that you can, to continue the status quo, and that may work for a while.
Well, Apple's a special case money-wise, Kevin, because they have so much cash, even though they've bought a lot of their stock in and used some of their cash. I don't think they have as much as they used to have, but they still have an exorbitant amount of cash. So most companies, if you were to say, God, I don't see 20% or something, I could be wrong by a few percentage points, 20% of their business is in China, and given this fact, if there's any sort of any sort of national whatever pride in China, the chance of some Chinese dude walking down a block and plunking down a grand for an Apple Watch when we're fighting with the U.S. I have no great desire to buy something expensive from China right now because when we're allegedly in a war with them. I don't think that losing 20% of the market or 10%. I think Apple can survive that. So it's not like they're United Airlines after 9/11 when they've been in business 65 years and they don't fly for a week and they're bankrupt. I mean, they obviously have
right.
Much
so they
more
can
wherewithal.
They can survive it, unlike a U.S. seal as right. we were discussing.
Right. So
you're right about that. But will they be able to command the premium for their stock price?
And then when I'm done with this half hour dissertation with one of my clients, I go, I don't know whether you want to buy it or sell it. I mean, how do you know if this is the right price? And I don't know. I mean, whether they're going to survive at 160, whether all of a sudden this will pass and it's going back at 240. I mean, Kevin, I don't know. And I think anybody who has it should be protected, but nobody wants to be. So what do you say?
Hey, we have like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell or James Comey? Which one you want?
For what?
News this week.
By the way, you can stay longer than 2 minutes, so let's start with Comey.
Well, Comey...
For a basketball team, I'd pick Comey.
Just as it relates to his the memos that he had leaked on his behalf about his meetings with Trump, the Inspector General report came out, and Comey is demanding an apology because he is not being indicted, despite the fact that the Inspector General did conclude that the memos were official FBI records and Comey violated applicable policies in his FBI employment agreement by providing one of the unclassified memos that contained FBI information, including sensitive investigative information, to his friend with instructions for the friend to share the contents of the memo with the reporter. Additionally, the OIG determined that Comey, while FBI director, kept copies of 407 memos in a personal safe at home, and after his removal as FBI director, violated FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement by failing to notify the FBI that he had retained them. And it goes on. But this is, and this is the guy who is out there tweeting that he deserves an apology.
Well,
because he didn't get, he's not going on trial.
I would say, Kevin, that after watching the incredible amount of resources, and again, these are all disparate subjects, but for some reason I put them all together. I don't know why that is. Maybe because my brain is scrambled. These are all, look at the amount of money this FBI spent on Blagojevich, which by most people's idea was, what's the point? You know, as long as he's not governor anymore. They have their own agendas as well. And yet, you can see where the other side of the coin, there's always the other side, is Trump demands, he thinks that that's his personal police force. And right now, I was aghast the other day that the Justice Department, somebody is suing the administration over the amount of people that are using the Trump Hotel. And now Trump wants to have the next year's G7 at his Mar-a-Lago resort. Well, now the Justice Department is defending Trump in this trial, or whatever it is in this case. Why? I mean, We don't make any money off his hotel. The question is whether these people should be staying in the hotel or being directed there. I mean, he's got his guy. Barr feels that it's his job to be the president's personal attorney. Okay, I guess maybe there's people in this country who believe that. And if two or three presidents get away with it, 20 years from now, Kevin, you and I might not be here. Everybody will think, well, what's the problem? That's the way it's always been, right? I mean,
and you know what? I don't have a problem with the G7 meeting at Mar-a-Lago, as long as Trump donates it.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. I don't think.
I doubt it.
Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah, if he wants to make a donation to the cause here, that's fine. Or pay for it out of his personal accounts, that's fine. But no, I do not want those kind of conflicts. And you know, it's really strange. He's in his history, you know, even if he's completely arm's length from it or farther than arm's length from it, you know, the ability with the holdings of his and his family's business, the ability for conflict is just incredible.
Do you know who does, you know, the Comey routine? When I was, you never thought I'd get you into Pullman on this one. By the way, we have Greg Ripsinski just wandered in. Greg, how are you?
Good morning.
You know who does this constantly, Kevin, and we never learned it. You maybe do it because you're much more organized than me, and I certainly should do it, but whenever you went to a meeting with a bunch of engineers, everything that was said regarding them and what they were supposed to do and who said it was absolutely written down neatly, and everybody had their engineer's notebook. And I think these guys in these meetings, when, especially at the level that Comey's at, every time you do one of these meetings, the guys that get ahead, and I'll use that term, you know, I don't know, good or bad, the guys that get ahead are always remembering everything that goes down constantly. And in light of the day that they may need it for their defense, they may just need it to write a book, they may need it when they're old to remember what their life was like, I don't know. But there's a lot of people, and the closer you get to these hallowed halls of power and the wacky people you have these meetings with, I think I would get in that habit as well. Now, I hope I wouldn't turn.
Yeah, and I don't care if he documented them. That's not a problem. But this idea that he has this, you know, the apology coming is, I don't know how he could be a bigger pompous jerk when he really should just be counting his blessings, because he, you know, I don't think he should be charged here. There may be more, because there's more Inspector General reports coming out, and there may be more involvement later, but at this point, no, I don't think he should be charged with that, but I don't think he should be crowing about it either. I think he's an idiot for doing it.
They made the incredible ego that these people have,
kidding.
At that level, I've never even talked to people at that level. I can only imagine what it's like. I mean, every one of these guys must think some of the people at the CBOE, where people wandered in, or some of the guys that became chairman and stuff, they thought that when they crossed over that line, that they entered this rarefied sphere. And I looked at them as the same guy. it's still with their strengths and weaknesses they had when they got there, but they don't. All of a sudden, they entered this another. It's like you went through the metal detector and came out different on the other side. Whatever. Anyway, Kevin, we got to talk football next week. What do you think? Is anybody going to beat Clemson?
Man, that quarterback is such an X factor. He is so much better than everybody else that's just makes him almost impossible to beat. And that's true of any college team. If you have a quarterback that good, it covers a lot of other flaws on your team, and Clemson doesn't have a lot of other flaws in the first place.
How did they all of a sudden figure out how to, shall we say, compete monetarily with schools that seem to have been doing it for a long time?
Well, I'm sure there are stories there to be told, but I don't have access to them.
I don't either. Kevin, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. I guess go Irish. Who are they playing? The Little Sisters of the Poor tomorrow?
Louisville. They're a 20-point favorite over Louisville on Monday.
Well, Louisville's at least not horrible. It's not like they're...
They were last year, but...
I mean, they're a real school.
At least in terms of quality of opponent, at least it's an ACC team.
Yes. All right, Kevin, take care of yourself.
It's not a 1AA team.
SP Futures up 16.75, NASDAQ Futures up 46. Come back, we're going to talk a lot of interesting stuff with Mr. Greg, but it seems he just don't ask me to spell it.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Greg Rupczynski, attorney, former trader,
entrepreneur,
you name it. He's all over the place, doing a good job everywhere.
Yeah,
father of a son who's freshman year in high school with all those issues, but doing a good job. SP futures up 1750. NASDAQ futures up 48. We have this could be the third day of rallies. We'll see. I think it'll probably hold, especially on a the last summer Friday, before the Labor Day weekend. No show on Monday, of course, for Labor Day.
Also, Tom, it's the end of the month, so yeah. There'll be some people wanting to mark, that, hey, August wasn't that bad.
Right. Oh, yeah. But it was for a while. Hey, Greg, I was telling you the other night over an adult beverage that I was on, I was a guest with Joan Esposito, and I love going out with her. She's a great host.
You're going out with her now?
No, I'm not going out with her.
You said it. Yeah, hey.
On with her.
You know, that's going to be on the internet next.
Oh, God. Why would she want me?
All that money you got.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so she was somewhere. We get to the end of my segment, and she goes, "Well, I don't have any debt, and like neither do you." And I go, "Well, why do you say that?" And she goes, "Well, I don't." I said, "Yeah, you do." She goes, "Where do I have any debt?" I said, "Well, you owe the federal government $180,000 as a taxpayer." "What do you mean?" I go, "What do you think the deficit is divided by the amount of taxpayers? And you don't think that that's on you?" "Well, I never thought of it that way." I said, "What do you think's going on in the city? The city, state, everything. The debt, total debt in this country, personal and governmental at all levels, is $860,000 per family. And for somebody to say that they don't have any debt, I mean, I wish I could say that, but I just can't." And I said, "Well, Joan, seriously, what do you think's going on in the city? Every single fee, every parking thing, every this, every that, to sell your house, the title transfer, the this, that, the other. Every single thing is going up. There's the message right for you that they're coming for you. I mean, that debt is going to come at you." And she goes, "Well, you're right, but just nobody thinks of it that way." I said, "I know they don't, but I mean, it is clearly, they're coming after you." And the sad part of it, Greg, in my opinion, I'm asking you, is I was talking to Robert the other night before you showed up, and he goes, "Why is it that they claim that there's, you know, this billion-dollar hole, and they raise everybody's taxes, and then the next year it doesn't seem to do any good?" I says, "Robert, they're lying to you. The number is really like 3. So they give you a little piece of it 1 year, hoping you, like, forget, or maybe hope that they added wrong. And the next year, there's still 2 left, and you're going, I'm like the greyhound chasing the rabbit, but the rabbit's being pulled by a truck, right? I mean, what is the deal here? How much further in a hole can people in the city or the state or even federally? I mean, do people have no recognition that this is where they are? That is actually their debt?"
You threw a lot out there from the federal, state, and...
Well, you're an attorney. You're supposed to know all this stuff.
I think it's more economics than law.
Well, I agree.
So it's a daunting issue, but it's the city is more interesting in that, you know, they have these multi-billion-dollar projects, Lincoln Yards, which I think is over by yonder by you.
Yep.
And, you know, the banks and private equity and that is still pouring money into building. And you talk about the migration of the population, but if you break down those numbers, you're seeing that poor people are leaving right. the city, but the educated, wealthy people are moving in. And if we believe in, you know, the market is right, why are these people still moving into the city and still, and why are the banks underwriting and the private equity firms, billion-dollar deals? Why? I mean, you're seeing now that Lake Point Tower, which is, if you're not familiar with the city, is this huge condo that they converted back in the 70s, 80s, and now they want to deconvert it and buy out everyone at a premium and make it into a rental. So what I think is more interesting is how these suburbs, you know, these there's so many of these independent small postage stamp suburbs. How are they going to survive 10 years from now? Because their property values are just, you know, plummeting, and everyone's going to have their property value, their taxes reevaluated based on property value. You take like a suburb like River Forest, any home over $1 million isn't moving because the taxes are so high and people don't want to spend that type of money. And if they are, they want to live in the city. And the bold move, and they're talking more aggressively, is you need to downsize government because you've got too many layers, especially Illinois is the poster child for this, too many layers of government between township government, local municipalities, school districts. I mean, Tom, I know you grew up on the southwest side. I mean, you have Evergreen Park, Oak Lawn is a school district, and it's 2 separate suburbs with separate police departments, fire departments. You need to combine these. And, you know, you don't need all this duplicity, and you need to start downsizing, combining.
You know what, Greg? I'm going to say it, it probably always was a problem, but it never came to a head until you're paying people on pension more than you're paying people that are there.
It's going to come more to a head because these property values in these suburbs, and I think girlfriend Audrey has been commenting about this, is the real estate taxes relative to the property value is outrageous.
Right.
And you're going to see more and more of that, and people are going to go and appeal their taxes, the smart people, and they're going to, the taxes base is they're going to start dwindling, declining in these suburbs, and they're going to be in a crisis mode. Chicago, it's more, it's an immediate short-term problem, but I see in the future, I mean, when you build, you know, over millions of square feet of additional living space that's high-end in the Lincoln Yards project, all that is going to increase the tax base. And
but it never seems to help. I mean, Cabrini Green went down, and look at the tax coming out of there, we never got anything.
Well,
and, you know,
you need someone to be fiscally responsible, and then the previous administrations, I know it's very common, the new sheriff in town or the new leader blames the predecessor, but I was in the impression that Rahm spent the last four years resolving this problem.
Well, he said that's my point.
He inherited a nightmare.
Rahm came in, and I'm going to lob these numbers out there because I think they're accurate. You can seriously push back. The first term, he promised he wasn't going to raise property taxes. He didn't. He raised fees, and from most of the calculations I've seen, those fee increases and everything he possibly could do in the city, permits, you name it, parking tickets, speeding
water
tickets,
and trash.
Water, trash, you name it, was the equivalent of, like, well, Matty, what have I said before, 45% increase in taxes.
I don't know if it was that much. But
it was.
Either way, it was an increase.
Yeah, but I think, although the water was huge the first time through. And so then the second term, he actually did raise property taxes by an average of, what, 50%. So he basically doubled in 8 years your taxes. Now, the lady comes in, Lori Lightfoot, and she talks about, and I'm going to say that if, you know, went back, Matty, you're good at this, I'm not asking you to do it, but one of these days, I'm going to say that when Rahm came in, he was going to say his first speech about the city was, we probably have a $1 billion shortfall. Maybe, I bet it was less than that. $500 million, $600 million, whatever it was in his first speech, if you could, I'm sure it's available someplace. So essentially he doubled taxes over 8 years, pretty close. And now Lori Lightfoot comes out, the number is $868 million. And you're sitting there as a citizen going, what the bleep, over? He just doubled my crap, and now I'm in the same spot. Wait, like what I was saying earlier, man, I'm not pulling this off the top of my head, or at least I'm not trying to. We're right back where we started from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to what you're saying about the building, Greg, we've been through this. God, Robin and I started remodeling condos in 1976. Just when I got out of grad school, for God's sake. I was a little later than that, maybe 77 or 78. And there was the original condominium craze that totally blew up in 1980, okay? And then we didn't see another condominium building for, 6 years. And then we had another massive building thing in downtown and other places. And the last buildings built for a decade was Presidential Towers, River City, and on the commercial side, it was a title and trust building, right? And you didn't see another crane for 10 years in the city. And every time you reach the crane overload piece, like a year later, they're all gone. They all went to Toronto, and it seems like you got 6 to 10 years of God knows what again, right? I mean, I can only imagine, and as somebody who does closings and other things for people, well, that's not the main part of your game, I can only imagine if somebody buying one of these condos now, but you're right, most of them are rentals, where people can escape easier, right? But the condos, throw a 50% tax increase on top of that, throw a mortgage rate, maybe 5-6% 10 years from now. Who the hell are you going to sell it to? I mean, the economy better be chugging, right?
Yeah, but why are still private equity and capital building and putting money into this city.
All right, I'm going to ask you this as an economist. Why is it that the last year or last 2 years of every expansion, people can't wait, like tongues hanging out, to come after it, and 2 years later you're in a recession? The last year or two are always the most. I'm not saying we're there at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if you look back in history, the record number of cranes on top of buildings is always the year before it collapses.
Yeah. Well, they get a little overzealous in that nature. I mean, Miami has seen that boom and bust several times. I mean, going back to the Marx Brothers doing a movie, I can't remember which film it was on real estate values in Florida going boom and bust, and we've seen it in previously. They had more cranes in Miami, Florida than anywhere, and then that crashed.
Remember, have you ever, Maddie? I don't know if you have. I think you have because you're Mr. Vegas guy. Have you ever been to a crap game that really gets hot? Or ever even watching it, or have you been in it? But I've watched a few. I was never got unfortunately caught in one where the guy held the dice like forever. But when they do, it happens, you know, whatever, once a week or something at a casino, where somebody, you know, they just can't roll a seven when they're not supposed to. I will bet you, just human nature, the first time the guy craps out, there is more money on the table on that particular roll than any roll up to them. It's just the way people are, right? I mean, it's, you don't want to change them. You love them the way they are. That's why we love humans. But I mean, that is, it doesn't surprise me, Greg, that if we actually went into a hard recession, which I hope we don't, that you will have more buildings in trouble than a lot of work for guys like you, and even though you don't do that kind of work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But but you're seeing the valuations continue to go up, even though you have this issue, and I'm not saying discounting the issue, and then you see constantly the high-end valuations in Lake the North Shore, Lake Forest, the western suburbs, Naperville, St. Charles, those high-end McMansions out that way, dramatically decreasing in value.
Well, to be perfectly blunt, if you got, and you have a terrific family. Greg has a son and a. If I talk about the American family, you got a son and a daughter and a dog, right?
Yes, and a wife,
and you still got a wife.
Yeah.
So this is the American dream. Do you really need a 10,000 square foot house on 5 acres?
Well, they said that the next generation doesn't want that.
No.
Okay. And their goal is more convenience. They want to walk to work. They want to walk to restaurants. They want to, I mean, the shift is just amazing. People don't want to be isolated in a 3 acre, you know, like you said, 10,000 square foot home where your neighbor, you know, you could vaguely see, you know, and
you got to sit in traffic 2 hours both ways.
Exactly. You got to sit in traffic and you're isolated. The amazing for, let's say, the 20 somethings who are educated and successful professionals, the West Loop is where it's happening. And that area, especially Randolph Street, is filled with restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the nightlife. And that's what people want. I mean, there was articles written that the younger next generation, the 20s, 30s, people in that age group, they don't want the heirlooms and the antiques and the hand-me-downs from their grandparents and parents. And they end up putting these things in storage bins.
I will say this, though, Greg. What you're saying right now, some of that is absolutely true. Some of it, don't take this, is a load of crap, because the minute the wife has the two kids in the high rise, or they're moving to the suburbs.
We didn't do that.
No, you didn't.
And more,
but you have a nice town home in this city.
Okay, but I agree. But you, on the other hand, you see a school like the private schools like St. Ignatius.
Yep.
Okay. It's now $18,500 a year. Okay, and you have to be lucky. You either got to be connected with a legacy, or you got to be extremely bright to test in. I mean, when we were growing up, I would say, I know you're a few years older than me, in the 1970s and 80s, this school was on the verge of extinction. They had to block off sectors of that building because they couldn't heat it all.
I almost went there. Okay. When it was just the old building.
So, I mean, you take Loyola Academy, Mount Carmel,
yep,
which is going to be by the Obama Library. All the classrooms have been rehabbed.
Yep.
And they have a great sports facility.
Look at Lindblom, for God's sake, in a horrible neighborhood. Okay.
You know. And then your main, magnet schools, the prize of CPS is Walter Payton in River North, and then in the South Loop, Jones College Prep. And now DePaul College Prep, which is the old Gordon Tech, they just acquired the DeVry Tech College campus, and they're going to move there with a huge facility. So what's happening is the demand is there, and people are meeting the demand with schooling. And previously, you didn't have any demand. No one went to these schools. Gordon went out a bit. Gordon ceased to exist for a short time because their population was so small, it wasn't even significant.
They were always there, but there wasn't much of one.
Right. I mean, it's just, you had all these schools, just struggling. And now they're thriving.
I think that there is no doubt in a city like Chicago, as you can imagine, Greg and I argue with this over an adult beverage once in a while, that depends on where you look. My concerns are, I want stuff accretive. I don't want it only happening in this place when you lose, 20,000 retirees because their taxes are higher and their interest rate at the bank on their savings is zero. I mean, you lose a lot. There's a lot going on bad that doesn't need to be going on bad, to where what you're talking about should be accretive. And I wonder if it's even staying even is what I'm saying. It should be all accretive, and it's not.
No, it's not. And so I understand where you're coming from on that. It's just that you're just seeing, because of the migration of educated people. And people of more means, they are driving up and driving the demand for housing.
But I guess we're coming at this in different directions is, and it's the same argument I have, and many of us listen to it all the time, is that when things are growing, no matter what happens in this country, I got to believe that in the Depression, there were people that made dough. I mean, Armand Hammer made a lot of dough because he'd be the tincture of ginger was like booze, right? There's people that made money. But my point being is you can't have the city of Chicago losing 80,000 a year. I want the places that are growing to be doing great, but I want the other places not to be people running over the border. You know what I'm saying? And because I want 1 year to the population in Chicago to be back over 3 million.
But we know the people that are leaving the city are people in terrible neighborhoods that are getting out because they don't want to get shot anymore. Loop, as Greg pointed out, the north side is growing and building like crazy.
I'm going to say
I agree with that totally. And what you're seeing is via the violence and the higher property taxes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's driving people to the collar suburbs or out of the city completely. But as you see, you're seeing the evolution of the centerpiece is the Gold Coast of high-end real estate, and you're seeing the other neighborhoods keep penetrating, and the rehabbers or the flippers come in, start buying these places up, fixing them up, and selling them to people who are pushing the borders of where the educated wealthy are into the other neighborhoods. And Humboldt Park now is a zone where the rehabbers, like yourself, or the flippers, as they also call them, come in, start buying these places up, rehabbing them with everything, and then putting them back on the market and selling them.
Well, let's go to break, and then we'll come back with this, not necessarily debate, but it's, SP Futures up 1750, as if he's up 46. Looks like we have 3 days in a row strong going on the weekend. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Allen. He's Mr. Greg Ripsinski, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands, $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription to luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. We have the S&P futures up 18 now. We have the news of the day is that now people are saying the Chinese are going to kind of wait out the trade war, whatever the hell that means, but they're not going to lob any new tariffs at us right away. Interesting. So a massive hurricane is heading toward Florida. No word as to whether they expect it to go through Florida, do some damage there, and head to the Gulf and do damage again. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 132. It's 1.1%. FTSE up 48.7%. CAC around up 48.9%. Over in Asia, we've got, interesting here, Nikkei up 243. Now, they didn't move yesterday because the news with the China and then president came out a little later. Shanghai's actually down today 4 points, which is, they arrested this, one of the leaders of the democratic demonstrations in Hong Kong, and evidently they've been canceled for the weekend because he's in jail, so I don't know what to make of that. Hang Seng up 21, let's call that one flat. Bonds, the 10-year yield, 1.52. Germany now minus 0.7, Japan minus 0.28. Oil is down 60 cents, 56.11. Brent down 12, 60.96. And we have gold pretty much steady, minus 60 cents. Silver up another 19 cents. That's bizarre. We have some positions on in silver, but I don't think I'm long enough in there. You're never long enough when it goes up, Greg, right?
Yeah.
What do you got for us, Matty? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Looking pretty good so far on a Friday morning before a long weekend, so no surprise there. Earlier crash on the Kennedy at Central Avenue is all clear, so that's good news. We do have a crash, though, right off the Kennedy, Higgins Road between Cumberland and East River Road. There is a crash that has Higgins closed, Cumberland to D. So that crash happened about an hour ago, and it must have been a significant one because it's still showing as closed right now as crews work to get that situation resolved. But everything else looking okay out there. No issues coming in on the Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside Expressways, normal traffic volumes for a Friday morning. And we're quiet otherwise. Weather today is going to be a beautiful Friday day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 74. If you're heading out to the Cub game this afternoon, it should be great weather. Right now it's mostly clear and 66 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 110 today. Right now it's clear and 88. In sports, Cubs won their third straight, sweeping the Mets in New York City. Winning last night 4-1, they beat Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom behind two Victor Caratini home runs. Caratini had three hits overall, but a big three-run homer broke a 1-1 tie late in that one and put the Cubs on top for good. The Cubs are now 1.5 games back of first-place St. Louis heading into the weekend. White Sox were swept at home by the Twins. They were doubled up last night 10-5. Diamondbacks beat up on the Dodgers 11-5. D-backs have won four in a row and are playing themselves back into the wild card picture. Chief.
The Greg, we're, go ahead.
Oh, I think the Cubs are playing Brew Crew this weekend.
That's right.
That might be a challenge.
Yeah, but the Brewers haven't been playing as well the last couple of weeks, but they always play the Cubs tough, and it's going to be a big series.
Yeah, and then the Sox, the Twins are having an amazing year.
82-51, Minnesota, 3.5 up on Cleveland in the AL Central. They've won 5 in a row. It's Yankees, Astros, and Twins in the American League. All three of them are just having monster seasons. And then in the National League, it's pretty much Dodgers and everyone else.
Okay, Tom, so you want to continue on or you want to talk about a hurricane?
No, what I want to dig into is I've been doing a little...
We've talked enough weather today. Yeah. We can't talk any more weather.
Well, you know, I heard rumor about you could use a nuclear bomb to change the course of a hurricane. Is that true?
You read this, Matty?
No, I saw that our president said it. I also saw that he said he's disappointed that Fox News is no longer working for him. He said we have to find a new network.
Okay. Well,
did you read that tweet?
The Weather Network, and
He said Fox News is no longer working for us. We need to find a new network.
I'm going to quiz Greg here because
I didn't study last night.
He's every man when it comes to family, kids going to college or high school, soon to be going to college. This last month, Matty, you remember me kind of wondering, for instance, how our retail sales could have been up so much, 0.7% or wherever they were. And everywhere you go, if you talk to people, the economy is doing spectacular. Look at how well, blah, 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 these numbers are. And I said, you got to look through these numbers a little bit. Now, you know what, Carl has me trained or something now or whatever, but I don't ever take any of these things. Now, these numbers just came out this morning. Now, what does this say to you, Mr. Weber, and to you, Mr. Greg? The income numbers for the month just came out. Personal income, 0.1% versus 0.3%. Okay, so lower. 0.1% is not a whole hell of a lot, right? However, personal spending, 0.6% versus 0.5%. So to me, I immediately jumped to the conclusion, credit card. And I don't know that you can just look at the spending and say people, when the income numbers are where they are and moving as slow as they are, you can't, in my opinion, crow about the spending number. But now I was talking to our man here, our friend works in the building, Hispanic fellow, not that it makes any difference. And I said, Salvador, and he has the two kids who are going to school, sort of like Greg, but in maybe a little different neighborhood. But he's in a nice neighborhood. He's not in a bad spot. And I said, Salvador, if I had to ask you, if you compared how much money you spend now back to school versus Christmas, which would be more? And he goes, that's easy, back to school. He said, I had to buy a couple of laptops. I had to buy all these new clothes. He said, it cost me a fortune. He goes, I'm not going to spend that much on Christmas. And I'm wondering, Greg, because I know young Greg is going to high school for the first time where they have, like, kind of uniforms and stuff. And you were mentioning he had a tablet. I'll bet they have to have the proper tablet. I'm going to say that one of the biggest negative equity months for retail people versus on the credit card now is the 2 and 3 weeks before kids go back to school, no longer Christmas.
Yeah, I could buy that. I mean, at his school, he has a uniform. So, you know, he has khaki pants and has to have a polo shirt, but it has to have the emblem of the school. Even the pants, even on the pocket, has to have the emblem.
Are they khaki pants of all the same color, like khaki every day?
Yeah.
What is he? Was he a State Farm agent?
A Target employee?
Yeah, Target employee.
So we have to purchase these at Land's End, which, a former part of the Sears empire, and you have to call in advance, and you know they have to emboss the emblem on the clothes, and I mean it's a big deal, and you know the pricing on it is I would say retail. There's no sales or discount. There's no Land's End is X. Well, maybe I'll go to Target or I'll go to Amazon and find an equivalent somewhere else. You know, you can only go to Land's End. It's a monopoly because you have to get the emblem embossed on it. So that's one. And then two, I brought back memories. I'm sure the two of you could bring it. He had to get a calculator. Okay, I mean, already has an iPad, and we had to get the TI-84 graphing compatible calculator.
What is that?
And the TI, it brings back memories. TI, Texas Instruments.
Texas Instruments. I had the TI-83 when I was in school. Of course, my mom never bought me one, so I had to borrow from other people.
Well, maybe we could get a rehab one for you. But I had the TI-55 going at the fine institution of Marist High School, and my parents, I remember, they were outraged because they had to pay $52 for it, and I had to pay $149 for the TI-84. And
what did the TI-84 do?
Do you want to pipe in?
I have no idea. I mean,
I just remember it was able to do all kinds of, like, algebraic equations and things like that.
It does the algebraic, but it's more for geometric and trig.
Yes.
That you could do graphing analysis on the window. It has a screen. And it's pretty neat. I mean, I'm probably going to probably take a look at and play around with it, but I'm not building any spaceships or electric cars or anything.
Does anybody use a slide rule anymore? Or is that, even though a slide rule is, Manny?
What's that?
I do know what it is.
What? Who?
A slide rule?
And we did have to use it in geometry?
I did not learn on a slide rule, and I went to school in the early 80s.
I never learned either. But
my father was an engineer, and he was very proficient in it. And in fact, part of his, let's say, heirlooms is I have his old slide rule.
When I was in high school, I don't think anybody really had
It was a one-room schoolhouse.
Pretty well, it wasn't a one-room schoolhouse, but the first calculators came out that just added and subtracted and stuff. Guess how much?
$29.99.
$300.
The Casios?
No, no, we're not. These are not. Well, they weren't the ones that got. You had to plug them in.
No, the Casios, were mass produced. I think they went out of business.
Yeah, but they got to be classics because they were terrific.
Yeah, I remember for higher end, Texas Instruments was the standard. And before that was the SR series, because that's what my older brothers had, which stood for slide rule series, SR, and those were the first ones by Texas Instruments.
Nobody cared about those in North Chicago. I actually made it through. I never had one. I'd bring one for a test, and I'd sit over by the wall, and I'd plug it in, because I never wanted to buy one of the darn things. But I did have one later. The Texas Instrument was the cat's meow if you did net present values and future values. It was a financial calculator. A lot of people in the business had that. But there, Matty, if you ever want to talk about guys that were, can you use the other N-word, nerds, on the show? they actually had people that had calculator clubs. There were guys, and they would have the calculator was on their, well, now you see people doing it with their cell phone, but they would have a holster. And the calculator was in the holster. It was bad.
Everyone had their TI in a case that, attached to your belt.
Yeah.
There has to be a TI app now where you can just download the app and have it on your phone. There has to be. In fact, I'm willing to bet there is.
I wouldn't take that bet, but...
I don't know. Can you get phones? I mean, I know the calculating power in there, but can you have an app where you can do present values and future values and stuff?
I bet you can, yeah.
Easily. You could Google calculation for net present value, and there's like a dozen sites that come up with that. Or amortization calculations for mortgages or loans. That easily comes up. And the iPad he already had, the screen is wearing out, so, and it takes a longer time to power up, so we're looking
at. So I'm going to say, but the number.
Yeah, I typed in a TI-84 calculator in the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And there's like six apps that came up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, for graphing calculators, for a TI-84 graphing calculator pro, TI-84 simulator. I mean, I don't know how close it is to the real thing, but I bet it's pretty damn close.
So what's the what do you think the total? I think for Salvador's kid, I think he's going to grammar school, but still they'd have some kind of a calculator. I'm going to say I think he was talking about at least 1,500 kid. I mean, you got to be up to 2G easy.
I don't know if it was that much. I mean, a lot of the stuff he already has.
Well, okay, but he didn't. If he didn't.
Yeah, you could do easily 1,500. I mean, the iPad is the big line item.
So I guess my
what
question...
What does a ninth grader need with his own laptop?
He doesn't have a laptop. Everything's downloaded on an iPad.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you have... I mean, we had, like, the family desktop computer that we would turn on, like, once a month. But that's it. I can't imagine needing a laptop or an iPad or whatever to get through school.
Oh, you definitely have to have an iPad because there are you'll love this. Okay, this is another subject. Okay, the books now there are no he. I only purchased one book. Okay, one book, and he has six different classes. You download all the books. Okay, and you buy them electronically.
Your tests come to you on the even I know this, Maddie. Your tests come to you on the pad.
And Maddie, you'll love this one. Pearson, which everyone knows is one of the heavyweights in the publishing, especially educational, you rent the book for the year. Okay?
I like that.
So they are so clever, their model, because the others, I'm downloading the book, and if I had a clever tech person, I could probably, you know, move that to a thumb drive or something and say, hey, you know, go on the internet and start selling these, right? The Pearson model is I rent the book for the year, and then the license expires, you know, over the summer after the class is over.
That's unreal.
Okay, and the rental fee is I mean, if you put books on it and electronic versions and everything, easily I'm at the 2,000 level, because each book is we're talking $50 to $70. Downloading.
And this is for high school?
Yes.
What are we paying for?
Okay. teachers.
Good God.
Okay, plus, Matty, is I have to fund his mealtime account. So he has an account for buying food at the lunch counter.
Why can't he just bring cash?
They don't take cash.
You got to be kidding me.
No. Okay. He has an ID he has to have around with him all the time. It has barcodes. And then I had to set up what's called mealtime. And then he buys food with his ID card.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question, but it's not very stupid. How long before he's chipped?
Well, there's huge pushback. That's not going to happen.
I think it's a question of when.
The pet is chipped.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, even my dog's chipped.
All pets nowadays are chipped. Hey, was Scruff chipped?
No. Actually, I think he was when I got him.
Rescue him now, they're all chipped.
Yeah, he was chipped.
Okay. No, I mean, but I'm just saying that, you know, when are we going to put the barcode on your arm? And I don't mean to insult anyone that has survived the Holocaust. And, you know, you don't even need the ID. You're just going to have the tattoo of their barcode.
No, the chip's better. The company in Wisconsin chips everybody.
So with the chip, can I go through a line and pay for something?
The chip goes in your wrist.
Okay.
So you just wave it at the door,
yeah.
and then you go. You don't have to use the thing or whatever anymore.
Have you been in one of those virtual Amazon stores where there's no clerks?
I would never go in one of those.
I mean, there's the only person in there is the person stocking the shelves.
Right.
And you go in there with your iPhone, your smartphone, and you take whatever you want off the shelf, and you walk out, and it's deducted from your account.
Yeah, you just grab what you want and you leave.
Yeah,
it automatically scans your account.
I think we're scaring the chief.
Well, here's what I'm
going to. I think the chief is old school.
Oh, you think?
he's got his Ben Franklin's and Andrew Jackson's in the wallet.
But here's my sum up of what we've been talking about today. And it's the same thing with these numbers I just talked about, and it's just reported that people came out with, people, our government. And it's the same thing with our argument about the city. I'm never going to be happy, okay, economically. I mean, hopefully I'm happy otherwise. I'm never going to be happy economically if we're in a situation where every time somebody wins, somebody loses. We're talking about, you're right, big buildings are going up because guys are getting financing for ridiculously low levels. But it's being done because the older people that have the cash aren't getting any money for their cash. So for every young couple that moves in, some old couple leaves the state because they can't afford the taxes. It's like I want 6 months in a row where people's income are 0.3% and their spending are 0.25%. I don't want it the other way around and have everybody tell me how good everybody's doing because they're spending. Putting stuff on your credit card at 25% doesn't mean you're doing good. It means you got to have your kid in school, and he needs a laptop, and he needs pants. He's not going to go with his bare butt hanging out without a laptop. We know that. But so people are willing to put that kind of stuff on their credit card and hope the raise comes or next year's better. This is not how a country moves ahead or a city. You can't have for everybody making a buck, somebody's losing a buck. We all have to move forward somewhat together. There's always going to be people doing better than others, given their talents. Some people are smarter. Some people work harder. Whatever it is. I mean, it's still America to a certain extent. But every single winner now does not have to mean that there's a loser. And I think that's where we are, Greg. We have no growth. A city, you can't say a state that loses 80,000 people a year is healthy.
No, it's not healthy at all. And they have to reverse that course. Okay, I grant that. But, you know, and I use this example when I'm speaking with people, is that, you know, in the 1970s, New York was a cesspool.
Yep.
And, you know, the crime was out of control. You had the police department totally corrupt. I mean, people mocked it in movies, like Serpico.
Yep.
Was a whole movie about the corruption there. I mean, many films in the 1970s. And then you had the five mafia families completely controlling everything there. And you had many, and you couldn't go into Central Park. You couldn't even go during the daytime at certain areas. And then you had, I forgot her name, it was the historic, the woman who was being beaten and raped in the alley, and everyone closed their windows, no one even called the police.
Right.
You know, I mean, it had, the movies such as Escape from New York, Maddie, if you, Snake, they had, Kurt Russell was this badass guy. Oh, I'm sorry.
You did. You're on podcast.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. And he was that New York was such a cesspool. They made it into a prison colony, a penal colony, and they just walled it in and everyone just, survived on their own. And then, the gangs of, all these movies about New York in the 70s going to the 80s. And now look at this. Well, the city, I feel way safer in New York than I do in most, you know, in parts of the Chicago.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, it is.
New York, you can almost walk anywhere now. Even Brooklyn is safe.
I mean, how did that evolve? Okay.
I'll tell you how. You want real quick, we don't have much time, but I'll give you a quick, because of the billions of dollars of infrastructure they have. It's you look at Cabrini Green and you say, what is that doing here in the middle of all this plenty with essentially, and again, it's there because people didn't have, and I'm not disparaging anybody there. You're saying, wow, we got a subway stop like right here. We got this right here. Nobody else in the country or even the world has it, right? So if the economy was going to grow at all, people are going to look at New York and say, wow, if we had to put this subway system back in, if we had to put these airports back in, you couldn't do it today. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it at a place, World Trade Center, you know, whatever. The reason why the World Trade Center went on there, you had PATH trains from New Jersey, you got a ferry from New Jersey, you got six subway lines or five or whatever it is. You don't have, there's a reason why you boot the bums out of those areas and say, we're taking it back. I mean, look at the north side here. Everybody looked around and says, I don't really feel like driving to work every day. Wait a minute. Armitage has a stop. Diversey has a stop. You watch people just go that way saying, there's an infrastructure here that we can't get anywhere else. I mean, look at Chicago's suburban thing. Chicago's suburbs would not look like this if it wasn't for the commuter rail lines. Right?
Yeah.
So it has to do with infrastructure and people before you that have put stuff together. It's not going to happen in Oklahoma City. You're going to get some oil money and everything else, but it's going to happen where there already is stuff of value that people can pile onto.
Which is why I'm convinced that I don't know if it's going to happen in your guys' lifetime. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime, but the South Side is going to be,
I would agree,
absolutely flourishing at some point in the near future.
Because the park system,
it has the public transportation, it has the park system, it has the lakefront, it has the proximity to downtown. It's going to happen. I just don't know when.
But you can't. But Chicago is so big. It's not like San Francisco, where you can, and, you know, don't take this wrong. You can drive the schlumps to Oakland and some other place.
Oakland is becoming very expensive.
Right. But my point is, but Chicago is big. You can't. You need a place where the old people can still live, and not because they can't be broke. You need, everybody has to get along economically. For a city of 3 million people. It's not like it's, what's San Francisco? 500,000 maybe?
Something like that in city proper.
Yeah. I mean, so you can't have this one group is doing well, another group is doing poorly. But I don't think there's any kind of, what if we wanted to put a housing project in where the Robert Taylor homes was, Greg? How do you even get that property? It's just slabs of concrete for what? 2 miles?
Well, a lot of that's been torn down. And
it's all down. It's flat.
Yeah, I mean, Maddie, and I would say, I agree, we're going to keep seeing this evolution, but I think the West Side is going to be developed before the South Side.
Oh, no question about it. The West Loop, and then you get into Humboldt Park and Logan Square and all that stuff, because, and heading west. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that one is going to be in our lifetime.
And Oak Park is so nice. It's surrounded, basically.
Right. Yeah.
But, Maddie, you know, whatever. In your lifetime, you haven't seen this yet, and honestly, I hope you never do.
By the way, San Francisco, 884,000.
Okay. But you haven't seen this yet, and I honestly hope you get the whole area or just the city proper.
City proper, 884.
San Francisco is a unique because they can't go vertical,
right?
And their footprint is extremely. I mean, they
small.
Antithesis of that is Detroit, which if you ever look at it, its footprint is just like out of control. How many square miles Detroit is, if you want to look that up.
Well, the biggest has got to be Oklahoma City now. They take out half the state.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm saying, Maddie, is this gentrification, it doesn't come easily or evenly. I've known people, because I started doing remodeling in 1977. You could have 8 years where this is going and block by block by block, and all of a sudden you and Jill decide, let's grab one at this street by Humboldt Park. If you're wrong, that stays the frontier, not forever, but maybe a decade where the people across the street from you are not the people you want to cross the street from you.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, one day, it starts again. But you don't want to be the last guy in the... I mean, Larry's buddy Bob, the big White Sox fan, he buys a place down on Prairie Avenue, which is on the near south side. Just when the south side boom, with Greg, you were the first guys in South Loop. So Bob buys this really nice condo down there, and, you know, the hood is two blocks away. 10 years later, the hood is two blocks away, and his condo is, you know, 80%, 60% of what he paid for it. So your timing is everything, like most things.
And there's a lot of luck involved.
Well, you just don't want bad luck. Timing. Yeah. I'm going to say timing.
Yeah.
I mean, the luck is to start off first. You don't know how long it's going to go. And obviously, you wouldn't have bought the last house if you thought it was going to end. You know, but it happens, and it happens fast. S&P futures up 16.50, NASDAQ futures up 43. Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
Good job, Matty. Okay. We'll be back on Tuesday, Stocks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.